always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
Shout out to Bass Records. Hey, yo, Hunter. Roll up another one of them congressional blunts, brother. He was gonna get his laptop fixed, but Hunter got high. He wasn't gonna show all them dick pics, but Hunter got high. He should've let Hillary bleach his whole hard drive. Yeah, Hunter got high. Hunter got high. Hunter got high.
Oh my God.
He wasn't gonna mess with the hoes, but Hunter got high. He was gonna take them all out on the boat, but Hunter got high. He's the smartest man Joe ever knew in his life. Man. Yeah, to Hunter got high. Hunter got high. Hunter got high. La, la,
la. Oh my goodness, there's more to it that I don't want to pay the royalties to.
Oh, all the Gen Xers who were rocking out to
Afro Man. Guy
from back in the that was early 2000s. You know, there all the young Gen Xers who were still in college. Yeah, that was for you. That was a good one for you. Back.
Okay, speaking of getting high, let's talk about marijuana.
Okay. Since we're on the subject.
Oh my goodness. That actually was Afro Man. That he did. He did a remix of that song from, was it the 90s?
But I Got High. I think it was the early 2000s.
Early 2000s? Yeah. And so he did it just for Hunter Biden.
Seriously, yeah. He's talking about making a comeback. He was like, I'm looking forward to doing these at Trump rallies.
Well, and the funny part was he was just at Diamond Music Hall.
Like, oh, was
a
he?
Month or two ago.
Oh, wow.
I was in there and, who was it? Was it, I don't know, Faster Pussycat or one of the LA, no, it wasn't LA Guns. I think it was Faster Pussycat. I was at that show and, you know, they've got the posters up for the upcoming shows and I saw Afro Man was coming. So maybe he's already been there. Maybe he's coming. I don't know. But he's catching some flack for that.
Yeah, well, of course, because she's like, oh my gosh, how can you do this? Now, YouTube is saying that, you know, with the million views he's picked up on this video that he released 5 days ago, and I think this thing managed to get to number 3 on iTunes as of yesterday, so I don't know where it is today, but it's blown up. This whole thing's blown up, and he's excited about it.
Oh, yeah.
Looks like the original release was 2001.
Okay.
I'll do that
okay,
one.
That's
okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. So let me ask you this. Now, in the news dump that we're going to have here in a little bit, I've got an update on the Biden administration wanting to reclassify marijuana. Mm-hmm. So right now, marijuana, believe it or not, is considered a Schedule 1 drug. I mean, literally the same as heroin, as street level heroin, mm-hmm. which is stupid. And that's been something that people have been challenging for decades. So yes, the Biden administration looks like they're going to get that changed to a Schedule 3 drug, which means, the federal government will still look at it as an intoxicant that's dangerous, not technically legal, but it would allow for it to be prescribed legally. The reality is the federal government doesn't give a crap whether you have marijuana or not.
Not really.
You know, technically, you're not supposed to take marijuana in on your flight. Mm-hmm. I am telling you, I know guys who say, yeah, no issue. If it's a prescription medical marijuana bottle, they're like, put it in your check bag. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Don't take that as my advice. That's just what they've told me.
Yes. Yeah. This is anecdotal evidence.
And if the dog pings on your bag or something, don't yell at me for it. Then you shouldn't have been taking marijuana on your flight. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the federal government's taking, like, why are we bothering with this kind of thing? Other than a bunch of DEA agents who are worried about their jobs. You know, we need something to bust so we can continue to have our career. You know, so, but that makes sense. I mean, libertarians have been calling since the 70s
yeah.
for this to change. I mean, Buckley, even, you know, saw softened on the drugs back in the 70s and 80s.
Good old William F. Buckley.
William F. Buckley. Back when we had more thinking conservatives out there. So, you know, the attitudes are changing. If the Biden administration can make this change, it's a step in the right direction on this. You know, this is something that Republican and Democrat alike have said, listen, it's not a legalization at the federal level, but the reality is the federal government's taken a backseat and said, states, do what you want with that, which is what they should have been doing.
I wish that this rule change would have happened a long time ago. Yeah. This shouldn't have even been part of the nationwide push for legalization for, be it, you know, medical or even recreational use, because this would have allowed research to happen that should have been happening on marijuana to begin with.
Right.
I believe that changing this category or moving down one category allows certain organizations, particularly, you know, universities and research centers to actually purchase it in large amounts so that they can do real studies.
Right.
And having those real studies would have been a very important factor, at least to me, to have the actual discussion from there about medical and then recreational, because we'd know a lot more.
And that's where we are right now, because I saw an interesting report. Justin Andrews did it over KMOV last night. And there is conversations now about allowing, because we have dispensaries everywhere, now allowing cannabis cafes.
Yeah.
Because right now you go into your dispensary, you can buy your stuff. You got to leave. You can't sit there and light up or whatever. But they say, why not let a coffee shop for potheads, you know, happen where you can hang out and do your thing? I mean, you know, you want to get jittery with coffee or tea, go to the coffee shop.
Yeah.
You want to get a little buzz on from your beer or your liquor, then go to a bar. So somebody's asking the question, well, why not allow the same thing for another legal product,
right,
which would be marijuana in the state?
It is a legal intoxicant.
So in the city, there is now a push to allow cannabis cafes. There was a discussion on this a year or two ago in the county, St. Louis County. Mm-hmm. I have not heard anything like this in St. Charles County. I've not heard anything about this in Jefferson County or Warren County. But St. Louis County, somebody suggested that they talk about this, and I'd never heard anything else from it. It just kind of didn't go anywhere. It just kind of, you know, dissipated.
It fizzled out, yeah.
Right. And in the city, though,
they let the embers die.
That's right. In the city, Alderman Rasheen Aldridge is writing up a proposed law, but what they're doing is they're looking at the state law saying there's some things you can't do and you can't do. So here's part of that story from Channel 4 last night.
Although no bills have been formally introduced on the cannabis cafes, Aldridge says he's working on legislation to make them possible. He says the cafes might be able to sell cannabis-infused food.
The cafes can't sell weed. They can't be a dispensary. These are all different licensees and we got to keep them separate.
If people want to smoke marijuana in the cafes, they're working on wording to make sure there's a designated room and special ventilation.
Okay, so, and the special ventilation would be similar to, like, where you grow and manufacture. You have to have special ventilation. So on this, I mean, they showed video on that. It may have been B-roll video, I don't know, of, like, somebody, you know, pouring some, like, seeds on a salad, which I guess could have been, you know, hemp, THC, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But, and I know there are some drinks that you can get that are infused with marijuana or infused with whatever.
You can get in drops, so you can add it to anything.
Oils or whatever.
Yeah.
But the idea would be, this would be BYOB, bring your own bud.
Right.
You know, bring your own W. So you bring it yourself, and then they can sell you some munchies, they can sell you a sandwich, they can sell you a soft drink, they can sell you water, they can sell you whatever. They would not be allowed to sell alcohol. So you would not be able to bring your own marijuana and then go buy a beer.
Right.
That's not something that would be allowed in the state of Missouri, at least.
Right.
So in the city, they're talking about that. I wouldn't patronize, but I don't see any reason why they shouldn't, because the city, and in that story, Rasheen Aldridge says recreational marijuana dispensaries went up and it's really helped the city's bottom line. It's been a success policy-wise when it comes to generating tax revenue. And I personally don't care that much about the tax revenue that's being generated, but these are some of the few businesses that are a safe bet to open up and employ people.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, we talked about this back in the day going in St. Louis County. We talked about what to call the category of location that we're talking about. Because the places that sell the weed, those are dispensaries. So the category is dispensary.
Right.
Right. And then the category of place to sell alcohol is a bar. Mm-hmm. So what would you call the place where you go to do this? And we had a poll, and our top vote getter was Weed and Feeds.
So, Weed and Feed, yeah.
Yeah, so you stop at your dispensary, and then you'd head over to the Weed and Feed and hang out. And from there, though, there was a further question. If you were to open one, what would you name it?
Uh-huh.
Right? So, because that's a different question. It's like,
right.
What's your Weed and Feed called? Some people were like, well, Mary Jane's, obviously.
That's pretty standard. No.
Munchies, actually, you mentioned Munchies might be one of those.
I mean, to me, that's almost like if you open a Christian coffee house, do not, for the love of God, call it Higher Grounds. That has been done to death. Don't do it. Just saying.
What about Hebrews?
Hebrews. Hebrews, yes. I'm like, come on.
Is that where you were going? I actually like that.
The first one was funny. The second through 500th one.
Gene's Ganja Garden is another good one. Dope Den and Bud and Buds is one of the... Yeah, so we've got... And somebody out of Colorado said we have a Gas and Grass.
That's right.
Stores.
Oh, yeah. They actually have Gas and Grass.
Gas and Grass, Colorado Springs and Denver.
Oh, wow.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, the combined store thing brings up another question that I have. If you are a dispensary, could you open a Weed and Feed right next door? So then,
separate businesses.
Can you open a Weed and Feed under the same license, or do you have to have them separate?
It would have to be a separate license.
Okay. Now, could it be the way they have on these gas stations / restaurants on the highway, where it's basically just an open gap between, you know, you walk from one to the other?
That's a good question. My guess would be no.
Mm-hmm.
Just because there's so much
regulation
on that. I think that you would have to go out one door and in the next one right next to it.
Okay.
That's just my guess. Mm. I mean, if you all are know more about this than I do, please let me know. 314-912-1019.
I guess it's how the statute's written.
Now, here's what's also interesting, and Bluesnut just said something along these lines here on Rumble, is that, remember, it's illegal to smoke indoors. So we're really saying it's illegal to smoke indoors unless you're smoking pot.
Well, no, we have cigar lounges, though, don't
right.
we?
But so, you get a special thing for that.
Dispensation. And I think that goes along with the whole ventilation thing. The hookah bars are another thing, too.
Mm. Yeah. So, Larry Connors he's told me a number of times about his, you know, the cigar lounges in the area. I've never been to one, but, you know, that I would actually go with him to one of those.
Sure.
I hear
they have the best scotch.
That's what I've heard. I'm less interested in the cigars as I am, you know, just saying. So I think, and this is the libertarian in me talking about this, it is a legal product.
Yeah.
If somebody wants to open up a business and sell you a sandwich while you're consuming a legal product, then do it. They're going to consume the product one way or the other. So why not allow a business to cater to it?
Right. Yeah. I mean, oh gosh. And the markup you could put on the Doritos.
Especially after the third hit, they're not going to know the difference.
Yeah, seriously.
Doritos, it's only $10. Man, you got it.
And you could use a generic.
Yes.
The generic Doritos with a super markup, and they will not care because the Munchies rule.
Yeah. All right. 314-912-1019.
I need to invest.
Does you have any issue with these cannabis cafes becoming legal? I just don't.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's something we're not thinking of, let me know. Let's talk about it. Otherwise, we're going to dump some news on you here right around 8:21 on 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
The Morning News Dump.
Are you joking? Is this a joke?
Listen, folks. The Morning News Dump.
All right, more campus stupidity around the country, including here in St. Louis, and there might be more of it tonight. Police are preparing for another anti-Israeli and another pro-Hamas action tonight, protest, whatever it's going to turn out to be. We'll tell you about that in a second. There's another Republican versus Republican showdown happening in Jefferson City right now. The establishment is being put on the spot by the Freedom Caucus troublemakers.
They're such troublemakers. My goodness.
I'm glad they're making some trouble.
Yeah.
All right. 8:22 right now. I'm Mike Ferguson. Got Gabe Pfeiffer here. Got Stelp on tickets here. All right. Another pro-Hamas protest is planned for tonight, this time on SLU's campus. The last I heard is they were going to get their festivities started around 6 p.m. I'm not exactly sure where on SLU's campus. They're being a little cagey about some of that. But there's also still a connection. A lot of the same people who were at WashU over the weekend and had the run-in with police out there. A lot of these same people are over at this SLU event as well. Activists, some Washington University faculty, still whining about the police enforcement against that attempted occupation of the campus over the weekend. We're now learning that there were some protesters, including an SIUE radical professor who were hurt in addition to the injuries suffered by police officers. There's a SIUE professor who got into the melee, and he's now in the hospital. I mean, because he had some broken bones and he got messed up in the conflict with police. My opinion, and this just kind of shows the defect of my character, I'm fine with it, and I hope he's got, you know, some limp or maybe ringing in the ears for the rest of his life or something along the lines to remind him of what an a-hole he was, because he literally got hurt being an anti-Semitic bigot and supporting a terrorist organization.
Yeah, that's a FAFO for me. Yep. Yes, that, and I'm definitely fine with it.
Yeah, he FA'd and he FO'd.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I got no issue with that whatsoever. Neither does Ted Cruz here. He was on Hannity last night talking about all of the violence and the nonsense, which, by the way, make no mistake, for the leftist, they create the violence. When you try to do an occupation and a takeover, hey, dumbasses, that's not nonviolent.
Right.
When you take over somebody's property that does not belong to you, when you smash through the windows, you smash through the doors, you barricade things, that's violence. So when the property owners, when law enforcement restores order, you don't get to whine in any sort of intellectual honesty and say they escalated it. We didn't have to resort to violence. They didn't even talk to us.
No, you started it. Yes. That's really the situation.
Well, you created it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's the equivalent of walking up to somebody, slapping him in the face, and then slapping him in the face, and then slapping him in the face, and then say, I can't believe you escalated it when you punched me in the nose. How dare you?
How dare you? Right. Yeah, that's exactly it.
So New York City police officers moving into Columbia University dealing with the pro-Palestinian activist and the pro-Hamas protesters who are still on the campus Tuesday. They actually reclaimed that one building that had been damaged. I mean, tens of thousands of dollars of damage.
I heard they went in hard.
They did. They went in tactically, which is exactly what should happen.
Yes.
Hamilton Hall, I think it was.
You should not be looking at these like, well, these are college students who are getting a little worked up. Look at them as terrorist tactics and criminals. Use the tactical teams and remove them by whatever force you need to.
And you know what, Gabe, you mentioned about blasting into the building. I wouldn't be surprised if those were the bought guys coming in from off campus.
The people, you know, breaking windows.
Yes,
and doing rent-a-mob all that. People.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the rental riot.
Rent-a-mobs, yeah. The rent-a-riot, yeah. A Soros subsidiary.
Well, so Ted Cruz was on Hannity last night, and, you know, we're talking about the immediate, but he says there's a much bigger issue involved with this.
This is a result of the sickness that has taken over our universities. This is a result of cultural Marxism that has infiltrated and seized control of the faculty and the administration.
Yeah, he's absolutely true about that. Like, for instance, at SLU tonight, you know, among the demands that they're making that should be ignored, I mean, they're complaining about, you know, for instance, endowments being invested in Boeing stock and Boeing being allowed to recruit, job candidates off of campus. But they're also complaining about educational ties with anything in Israel. They're complaining about anything that has to do with an Israeli program, which... That's the way they're putting it. What the reality is they're saying we want to cut off Jews from anything to do with this campus or this country. Chaos is one of the tactics.
Yes.
You know, that's what this is.
It's just a methodology for them.
Yeah, it comes down to they want to cut off anything associated with Jewish people.
Yeah, it's like I hate Jews, so now here right. how best can I express my hatred of Jews?
You know, Mike, you mentioned the the protest set up for tonight at SLU. And I'm going to mention this just, and I hope Kathy won't get mad at me describing this, but back when we were at SLU, which, by the way, was before West Pine was closed off, that's how long ago we were there. It's now that quad area at SLU, and it was quad back then, but West Pine was wide open. You had cars going up and down. One of the classes I had, and I mentioned this yesterday, philosophy class, had Marxism in it. Same thing with Kathy going home. So this is early 70s. She goes home to Hannibal, and her dad asks her how classes are going, and she makes a comment about the Marxist stuff showing up, and her dad glared at her and said, I did not send you to that educational institution to get indoctrinated with Marxism. He was ticked.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that was 72, 73.
Ages ago. We think of this as a recent thing, but as Ted Cruz is pointing out, this has been around for a couple generations.
For decades.
Yeah,
yes.
Without a doubt.
And I think that's the problem. We're at the late stage now. There was the indoctrinators, and the indoctrinated became new indoctrinators, and they multiplied, and now this is late stage. We're stage four, communist cancer in our institutions right now.
So what's going to happen tonight? I don't know. My guess is that based on recent activity and what the marching orders seem to be around the country, is I have a feeling and I have a concern that violence and occupation and taking over something is going to be part of the goal tonight. But whether or not SLU will have the same backbone and the city of St. Louis, as opposed to the county of St. Louis, will have the same backbone remains to be seen. We'll be updating you on that tomorrow. All right. One St. Louis City alderman, as we were just mentioning, thinks it's time for cannabis cafes where hanging out and lighting up would be legal. Rasheen Aldridge will soon propose a law to legalize cannabis cafes. He told KMOV that the legalization of recreational pot sales has actually been good for the city's bottom line.
From our budget director, we've seen how marijuana dispensaries are bringing in a lot of money for the city, and they've been safe. We haven't heard any issues.
Now, because the state laws, cannabis cafes could not sell marijuana products, at least not the kinds you light up. It remains to be seen if they could sell some infused products. So it would generally be BYOB, in other words, bring your own bud. Mm-hmm. And that's the best I can do on the joke on that one right there. Okay, couple sports notes here. The Cardinals split yesterday's doubleheader with Detroit. They had some big trouble against former Redbird Jack Flaherty in the first game, but eventually came from behind in the ninth inning, held on for a 2-1 win in the second game. Tigers evened up the series with an 11-6 win. Brendan Donovan and Alec Burleson both had home runs. Series will be decided this afternoon. Miles Michaelis gets the start in this one. It starts at 12:10, and the Battle Hawks are back at home this weekend. Coach Anthony Beck is hoping for the fans to show up and keep the rowdiness going at the Dome and keep it loud.
We got a monster game this week versus Houston, and we need each and every one of you guys to show up like you have every single weekend at the Dome. Our players are fired up. They can't wait to play in front of you guys. You guys are the energy and the fuel that we need.
Battlehawks are 4-1, tied for first in the division, which is one of the reasons this game is so important. We're now in the second half of the season. They host the Roughnecks Saturday, 2 p.m. at the Dome. Houston is 1-4. If you can't make it to the game, you can watch it on Fox. It is the national game on Saturday. All right, what are you expecting from the whole festivities at SLU tonight? Let me know, 314-912-1019. And I think before the end of the show here, guys, I think we need to replay that special version of Afro Man's song.
Oh, absolutely.
Maybe 8:50.
It's we'll one for the ages.
If you want to hear it again or you missed it the first time, you definitely want to be here around 8:50 on 101.9 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
On Rumble, guys, Ed says SLU and St. Louis police need to stop it before it just even gets started. Line up a perimeter now. I think we need to give them a chance to have a peaceful demonstration, because I will absolutely fight for your right to say things I find abhorrent.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My educated guess is that the plans are not for a peaceful protest. It is for some sort of what the radicals, fringe leftists, like to call day of action, of something like that. So we know that around 6 o'clock tonight is when things are supposed to get started. By the way, if you're planning a protest at night, you don't have good things in mind. Because let me tell you something. If you're really trying to get a message out, let me tell you how this works on the communication side, guys.
Okay, yeah.
Is that you plan it for the midday or the mid-afternoon. Yeah. Why? Because that's when the news comes out mm-hmm. and films you and interviews you and does the stories. And now people can come out and live stream it and it can work its way through and marinate through.
There's your free publicity.
You do it at night right before the sun's about to go down. You are there to use a very different tactic.
Mm-hmm.
And chaos is the tactic right now.
Yeah. Things happening in darkness usually aren't the good things.
Yes.
You know?
No. Some things are, but, well, but nothing. So I'm just okay, let's focus. Focus.
Stay focused, Mike.
Okay.
Wednesday.
So here's what we've got. If you're around the SLU area tonight, you don't want any part of this. Beware of your surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to probably see a lot of people. You don't know who they are, you know, because, yes, they could be the campus activist from wherever. I mean, the Wash U protest, and I just looked up that professor's who got hurt, and he's got, like, broken ribs and stuff.
Mm.
I just looked up his Facebook account, and he's a radical man. That guy is way out there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is out there supporting violent, you know, activism. I mean, there's no way he fits into Edwardsville as a community. SIUE as a campus, sure, because they're all nuts. But expect that type of mindset to be out there.
2-1, he caused whatever situation got him hurt.
He was in the middle of it and filming the cops. It doesn't look like he was taking any of the swings or pushing, but, you know, he was part of the wall of people who were, you know, being told to disperse.
So he got squished in the wall.
Yes. And then he got taken down by the cops, mm-hmm. Along with others. And so he's a very sympathetic figure to the left. And to me, he's not sympathetic at all.
No.
Yeah.
You got hurt from your comrades, buddy.
Yeah.
That's
precisely.
What happened.
So here's the thing. It's SLU tonight. My hope is that it is just a bunch of people saying stupid stuff. And I mean that because they're not going to say anything I agree with. They're going to say things I find disgusting. They're going to be advocating for causes I find disgusting. But I hope that it's just a matter of them just saying stupid stuff. I'm not naive enough to believe that's what's going to be the case, though.
And that listener suggestion is a good one.
Yeah.
Yes, they should take precautions ahead of time. That would be smart.
Mm-hmm. You know, this is what's happened, like, for instance, in Florida. At the University of Florida, they put out the flyers and said, here's what's allowed. By the way, free speech, 100% allowed. You don't have to check with us before you make a statement on anything. Here's what's not allowed. You know, property damage, occupation, harassment, intimidation, physical assault, all of these things. You get out ahead of it, and then what happens is some of these idiots will test you, and you make sure that they're not calling a bluff, that you're ready to back it up. I don't know if SLU's leadership has that kind of conviction. They are so far left, I don't know what they're going mm-hmm. to do. But when you look at what happened with Columbia, it's not like Columbia University is it's far left too. Harvard's far left. Mm-hmm. USC is far left. I mean, all of these universities where this stuff is happening, they're far left too. But what's happening now is at Wash U, which is also mm-hmm. far left. They looked around and they said it in their statement, like, we will not allow this here. You're not going to do it here. They saw what happens if you give the inch. They proverbially take the mile mm-hmm. and the quad and whatever else, whatever building.
Yeah.
And so the playbook is very clear. If you want to maintain any dignity, you want to keep your funding sources, you want to keep your alumni, you have to fight back, or you have to authorize the fighting back, because this radical left activist group, they're looking at this as a warfare mindset. Violence is a tactic. Chaos is the tactic. It's not a matter of whether or not there's going to be a fight. The question is whether or not you're going to fight back.
And keep in mind, in the past at SLU protests, they've gone from the campus south through the medical campus and on down to the Tower Grove area. So they've gone down to those other businesses that are around Arsenal, going down towards Chippewa.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind, too. If you've got plans to be driving around that area, you need to be going somewhere else other than Grand, to be honest with you. It would be smart to really stay away from there just in case, because they've done that in the past where they'll just march down from campus and just keep going further south.
Yeah, so basically, this is a good night to get out of downtown and stay out of downtown, especially around the SLU area.
Yes.
Nothing good is going to come from this. Get your car off the street out there. You know, and let's hope that City Hall in St. Louis has the gumption, although what we've seen from the, you know, Politburo out of City Hall
Man.
Is that they are sympathetic to this cause. Mm-hmm. You know, they are sympathetic to the pro-Hamas stance. I have said it multiple times, chaos is the tactic on the left. They don't want to be blamed for the chaos politically, but for instance, their godmother, Cori Bush, is singing the praises of these people. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got a real problem on their hands. You've got a radical leftist that thinks that occupying a building, barricading doors, smashing through other private property is legitimate. It's not. When the police defend law and order, when they defend private property rights, then you're demonizing the police, which is what the second in command of the city government, Megan Green, continues to do. So you've got a recipe for disaster. Let's not hope it goes. Let's hope it does not go to that. It's possible that we could limit this to just skirmishes and, you know, different tents getting yanked down or something like that. But the fact that this is planning to start at 6 o'clock and sunset tonight is what, 7 something?
Mm-hmm. 7:45 on
the
stage.
Ish, yeah.
Yeah.
So you can have your rally and your speakers as the sun goes down, and then we'll see whether the powder keg of all hell breaking loose is in place, which makes it harder for the police. Make no mistake, this is to try to give the criminals, the terrorist sympathizers, the pseudo-terrorist tactics an advantage. Physically mm-hmm. is what this is all about.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will bet that anarchists will be waiting in the wings.
Oh, sure.
Oh, gosh.
For nighttime to show up because they're here in town. They've been here for a long time. We can remember when they used to be on South Jefferson. Mm-hmm. They used to have a bakery on South Jefferson, Black Bear Bakery, that was run by anarchists. And you could go in and get all their books and everything else. They had them all right out there. Really nice folks. Had some really nice bakery products, but they were all anarchists. And as soon as you walked in the door, you knew, whoa, these guys are.
When they sold you something, did you have to pay the sales tax when you bought it?
I believe so.
Well, yeah. Then they weren't really anarchists.
And they used to supply different restaurants in the area with baked goods. So they'd put out quality product, but they were all upfront about it. Hey, we're anarchists.
Well, then they should be appreciative of capitalism.
That's right.
Yeah. Or theft. I was like, hey, I'm gonna walk out with this pie.
Yeah. Because, speaking of, I'm sorry, go ahead, Gabe.
No, I was just
gonna, walk out with the apple pie.
Yeah.
Kathy mentioned to me last night, she gave me some info on Portland State where Andy
is
at. Mm-hmm. And Andy had some stories last night of all the disruptions going on at Portland State. And then we got some info from our relatives in Columbus, Ohio, where stuff was going on at Ohio State yesterday. So it's definitely an issue nationwide.
And right here in St. Louis, I mean, over 100 arrests. There's been over 1,000 so far around the country. Now the big question is, will they actually be charged? As of this morning, there hadn't been any charges filed in connection with that Washington University melee that happened, and there absolutely should be. Now, maybe they're just taking their time and getting it all right so they can prosecute. But here's the other part of this. If the arrests are just performative,
mm-hmm.
if it's just to send the message, we're not letting you do this, but you don't charge and prosecute and incarcerate.
Yes.
Then you haven't done a thing
to
fix the problem.
You've only, you know, given them the street cred that they need. It's like, hey, here's the video of me getting yanked up by the cops. They get to share it on social media, call the cops names, and continue to do their garbage, quote-unquote, protests.
Right.
Our friend at the station, Virginia Crudo, chimed in. They're not protesting the war. They're protesting the winner.
Yes.
They don't like Jews.
Yes.
When Jews are winning, they're mad.
And what they do is they pull out, like, look at this. These are Jews for Palestine. We have this activist group. Does mm-hmm. anybody actually believe that?
No, not right. I mean, now there are left wing, ethnic Jews who kind of, you know, jump on that bandwagon occasionally. Yeah. But they're not just there to support the idea of a Palestinian state. They're not there to support the idea of living peacefully in coexistence with anybody, any Arabs in the region. Their ultimate goal is the destruction of the state of Israel and the death of many, many, many Jews.
They don't want it. You're right. They don't want a two-state solution.
No.
Which has been a nonsensical position for the U.S. for a long time.
Ultimately, it's
because
not.
of this.
It's not tenable. Saying.
It's just not. All right, 314-912-1019. I'm actually serious about that. I mean, my daughter works near SLU.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she works on Forest Park Parkway. I mean, I'm going to ask her. I'm like, can you take tonight off? Mm-hmm. She's the manager, so I don't know if she can.
Yeah.
But I'd really like her to get out of there and stay out of there.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
All right. 314-912-1019. So let's reward you for everything we're enduring right now at right around 8:50. Let's replay that clip that got such a reaction at 8:05. Mm-hmm. One of the greatest things you're ever going to hear in your life.
Yes.
Right here on 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Shout out to Bass Records. Hey, yo, Hunter. Roll up another one of them congressional blunts, brother. He was gonna get his laptop fixed, but Hunter got high. He wasn't gonna show all them dick pics, but Hunter got high. He should have let Hillary bleach his whole hard drive. Yeah, hey, Hunter got high. Hunter got high. Hunter got high. He wasn't gonna mess with the hoes, but Hunter got high. He was gonna take them all out on the boat, but Hunter got high. He's the smartest man Joe ever knew in his life. Yeah, hey, till Hunter got high. Hunter got high. Hunter got high.
Okay, so this literally was like the number one song on whatever iTunes. The iTunes thing is. So it's Aphromance. That is a parody.
Yeah,
of
parody remix of his own song. High
of his own song.
Yeah.
20 some years ago, and that was like number one, which drives I know the left nuts. But come on, I don't know if Aphromance is conservative or a liberal or what. I don't care. Obviously I don't listen to rap. But how could you not redo that song?
Yes.
I mean, it's just the material's handed to you.
Well, here's the thing. What's funny is I think back when SNL was funny,
yeah,
and they weren't particularly interested in towing the party line, this is the type of thing you'd see on their mm-hmm. on their sketch. Mm-hmm. You know, they'd have an Afro Man stand in. Maybe Afro Man himself would be a guest on the show,
yeah,
and they would have done a little parody of this whole deal and have like little skit moments of Hunter doing some stuff.
You know who else would have done that if the show was still around today?
Mm-hmm.
I almost guarantee you In Living Color would have done it.
Oh gosh.
They would have done it.
Oh heck yes.
And they have Adam Sandler put in it. Join them.
I mean, absolutely.
You tell me the Wayans brothers wouldn't do that.
Oh, they could make a whole movie about Hunter's life.
Yeah.
And then they release
it. Well, I mean, you could make a movie about Hunter's life, except you'd have to go like across the river to like, you know, Larry Flint's Hustler Club to watch it. But I mean,
no, you could do that. You could do the stoner comedy styling, yeah, version of it and make it a little more tame. But Afro Man revealed, by the way, that he is also still running for president.
He's running for president.
Yes, he filed 13 months ago to run for president. He's still running, and he said if he decides to bow out, though, he'll throw his support to Donald Trump.
I'm afraid to ask, what party is he running?
Oh, I have
party, no, quote unquote.
I have no idea. I have no idea. But yeah, he's, you know, one of the things that he said, and this is, I'm pulling these from a Newsweek article from yesterday, because they asked him about it because they're worried about him because he's going down a dark path, according to them.
By literally. I mean, that song was he was documenting things that actually happened.
It's so funny. Yeah, seriously. He said, I'm going to blow up, basically. He says, oh gosh, where did I see that quote? He said he's looking forward to doing this at Trump rallies. He said, I'm back, baby.
You know what? If he stays in the race, I'll vote for Afro Man.
Why not?
I mean, I don't think he's going to make it on the ballot. But if he does, you know what? That's the party, the green leaf party. I don't know, whatever. You know, that's.
He said this is the most political song that he's ever performed. but he also said that he won't stray from poking fun at both sides of the aisle. Quote, if I had some good lines, I'd use them. I'd give them to the earth. I'd sing about anybody. I sang about the police who raided me, by the way, because he was recently raided by the police on drug and human trafficking allegations that were all dropped. They found nothing, but he wrote a song about Will You Replace My Door, singing about the thing. So it's kind of hilarious. He's a funny man. He's a funny guy.
Will you replace my door?
Speaking of political stuff, yeah. We were at a Bluesfest festival in Washington, Missouri over the weekend. One of the bands, a really good band, mm-hmm. headed by a gal, Amanda Fish.
Oh, yeah, Samantha Fish. Samantha Fish.
Blues artist.
She's excellent.
Boy, what a good band. And she literally introduced a song where she said, this is my little song for the World Economic Forum.
Oh, really?
And man, she blasted them. And
okay.
Thought, wow, politics and blues. This is great.
I saw her, 15 years ago.
Really?
Before she really got big in the blues scene, she did a little Music on Main Street kind of event where we closed off a street and everybody, had the chairs and mm-hmm. we saw it. And back then we saw that. I'm like, this is going to be a national act right here.
What a great voice she has.
Oh, she's fantastic.
You know who she reminds me of is Janis Joplin. In her mannerisms.
Yeah.
And man, when she blares it out, when she goes really hard vocally, that's all I could think of was
much better voice than Janis Joplin ever had. That's for sure.
Not the harsh voice.
No, but. And her guitar work is phenomenal.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, because I mean, it was long enough ago that I remember like every once in a while like those memories on Facebook, and there's a couple times where that concert, which was an outdoor, like I said, it was one of those Main Street City Festival type things,
which is what we had in Washington, outdoor.
Yeah, and she was really good.
That's great.
I have no idea what her politics are, but I don't care. She was really, really good on that. Oh, man. All right. So we got Vic Porcelli coming your way here in just a second. I tell you, if I hit this thing right around 56:40, we could go out with that, replaying that. Is that too many times to do that?
No.
You don't think so?
I'm not sure there are enough times.
I don't think so. So, because we're getting some comments on social media. So, listen, you can find the entire song, Hunter Got High, on iTunes and YouTube and everywhere
else. Got a million views right now.
So, if you want to do that, check it out. Here's just the first little bit of it, about a third of this song, as we turn things over to Vic Porcelli.
Shout out to Bass Records. Hey, yo, Hunter. Roll up another one of them congressional blunts, brother. He was gonna get his laptop fixed, but Hunter got high. He wasn't gonna show all them dick pics, but Hunter got high. He should've let Hillary bleach his whole hard drive. Yeah, hey, Hunter got high. Hunter got high. Hunter got high. He wasn't gonna mess with the hoes, but Hunter got high. He was gonna take them all out on the boat, but Hunter got high. He's the smartest man Joe ever knew in his life. Yeah, hey, till Hunter got high. Hunter got high. Hunter got high. La-da-da.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.